This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired. Where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're plunging right into a really compelling document today, the David Memoir.
Yeah, the idea is to pull out those key insights, the real nuggets of knowledge for you.
Exactly. Kind of shortcutting you to being well-informed on some, well, foundational ideas.
It's about getting straight to the heart of it, right? Skipping the fluff and really understanding the core perspective in the David Memoir.
Absolutely. And our focus today is particularly sharp. We're really honing in on the introduction written by David Averett.
And that title, too. It's quite something. The Gospel Action Grid, Why Service and Sharing Go Hand in Hand.
That title itself, it tells you a lot, doesn't it?
It really does. Gospel Action Grid, it sounds practical, like a framework, something structured.
Mm-hmm. A system, almost.
Yeah, and then why service and sharing go hand in hand? I mean, that just lays out the core argument right there.
No ambiguity.
None. It's saying these two things, service and sharing the word, they're not separate. They're not even competing, maybe. They're interconnected, deeply linked.
So our mission for this deep dive is, well, it's pretty clear. We want to extract the most crucial ideas just from this opening section of the David Memoir.
To really grasp why they're presented this way. Service and sharing, two sides of one coin.
Right. And in doing that, understand how this whole perspective maybe challenges some, I don't know, more comfortable or traditional ways people think about community engagement for churches or other organizations.
Yeah, because right from the jump, the David Memoir sets up this tension. This sort of fork in the road.
Which is?
Well, the tendency to focus inward, you know, pouring all the energy into people already inside the group.
Okay.
Versus this call to make a real tangible difference outside those walls. Impactful outreach.
Well, Chaplain David, he doesn't waste any time getting to this point. He hits it hard in the introduction.
Oh, yeah. That opening quote is powerful. Really sets the stage.
It really does. I've got to hear from the David Memoir. True success in community outreach isn't measured by packed pews alone, but by the tangible impact we have on lives outside our immediate circle.
See, right there, packed pews versus tangible impact.
He continues. It's about the single mom finding support because her partner is incarcerated, the former inmate finding a welcoming community, and the leftovers of society discovering they are deeply valued.
These examples are so specific.
Yeah.
So grounded.
And then the kicker. That's the success God desires.
Wow. So it's not just a suggestion. It's aligning with God's desire, according to Mr. Averett.
That contrast just grabs you immediately, doesn't it? Packed pews. That's like the internal metric. How many people showed up?
Right. Counting heads inside. Very common. But he pits that directly against tangible impact on lives outside.
It's a fundamental shift in the scorecard, like you said, moving it from attendance inside to transformation outside.
And it's not just vague lives outside. He names them. The single mom with an incarcerated partner. The former inmate. The leftovers of society.
These are often the people on the margins, aren't they? Easily overlooked.
Exactly. And the David Memoir really underscores that the focus needs to be on them. According to Chaplain David's vision here, intentionally reaching the vulnerable, the ones who need that support and value affirmed.
And the critical takeaway from that opening quote, you think, is that this kind of impact, this specific focus, is what God desires.
That's what the David Memoir asserts right at the start. It frames the entire discussion.
Okay, so if that's the goal, that outward tangible impact, why do so many organizations, as the David Memoir puts it, get stuck inside?
Well, it acknowledges, you know, caring for your existing community is vital. It's not saying abandon the people inside.
Right, that's important context.
Definitely not. But the David Memoir argues it's about balancing that crucial internal work with what it presents as a much broader biblical mandate.
And it uses that metaphor, right?
Yeah, the fortress versus the force.
Right.
Really effective. The Bible's call isn't for the church to be a fortress, all defensive, protecting what's inside.
The rather.
A force for good in the world, active, engaging with the world's needs.
fortress versus force. One's about keeping people out, or maybe in. The other's about going out.
Precisely. And the David memoir points straight to Jesus' life as the model. He didn't just hang out in the temple, did he?
No, he was out there.
He went out, ministering to the sick, feeding the hungry, showing this radical love to, well, everyone he met, even the outcasts.
His ministry was defined by moving beyond the existing structures.
Absolutely. Engaging people right where they were with their real needs.
And this outward movement gets kind of codified, doesn't it, in the Great Commission?
Yes. The David memoir cites Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations.
No, not way here.
Exactly. The David memoir frames it as a foundational call to outward mission. The instruction itself is active. Go, move outward, reach all nations. It's global, inclusive, way beyond just the people already inside.
And building on this theme, this idea of God's heart for the outsider, Mr. Averitt brings in that Old Testament verse, Leviticus.
Right, Leviticus 23, verse 22. It's about harvesting.
Tell us about that.
And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
So don't harvest every last bit. Leave some behind.
Exactly. Leave the edges, the leftovers, the gleanings. For who? The poor and the stranger.
And the David memoir connects this ancient law directly to today.
Explicitly. It says this shows God's ongoing concern for those often left behind. It draws a straight line from leaving those gleanings to caring for parolees, families of inmates, former inmates.
And those leftovers of society again.
Yes. It's saying God's care isn't just for the main part, the easy to reach, but specifically for those on the edges, the fragments.
And it's broad too, right? The David memoir says the call is to reach everyone, from professionals to the most vulnerable.
It applies across the board, but maybe with a special emphasis, a special heart for the marginalized. It's a really powerful connection Mr. Everett makes there.
So this whole introduction, it really sets up the core questions the rest of the David memoir tackles, doesn't it?
Beautifully. It asks, essentially, why do churches, why do organizations get so stuck inside, trapped in their own comfort zones?
And maybe more importantly,
how do we break free? How can we actually make that transformative, outward impact Chaplain David is talking about?
Those are the questions driving the whole thing.
Absolutely. They're the engine for the rest of the exploration in the David memoir.
Okay, so let's dig into that why. Why the inward inertia? The David's memoir puts a lot of weight on leadership, doesn't it?
A huge emphasis. Mr. Averitt states it very plainly. True transformation within a church or organization and genuine help for the community must always begin with its leaders.
So it starts at the top.
That's the argument. The onus is on leadership. So what does the David memoir say holds leaders back, even well-intentioned ones?
Well, one big reason is just habit, doing the same thing over and over. Routine is comfortable, but...
But when it comes to community impact, the David memoir argues just repeating last year's program can become a detrimental habit.
Chaplain David is specific about this, isn't he?
Very. He says, when it comes to community impact, merely repeating past activities year after year can become a detrimental habit. Authentic, consistent, and substantial engagement that genuinely meets evolving needs is paramount.
Evolving needs. That's the key phrase.
Right. Communities change. Mr. Everett hits this too. What proved remarkably effective a decade ago may now be met with indifference or prove entirely ineffective. The landscape of community needs is dynamic.
And demands an equally dynamic response.
Mm-hmm.
So if your methods aren't keeping up, you're missing the mark.
No matter how hard you work at the old methods, another factor, relying too much on past success, or maybe the training leaders got way back when.
You default to what you know. What worked before, somewhere else.
Exactly. And experience is good, but Mr. Everett points out a potential disconnect. Leaders often lean heavily on what they know or what yielded success in their past. It's crucial to acknowledge that past mentors and environments cannot inherently know the current localized needs of your area. Your training might be perfect for yesterday, or for another town, but maybe not for here, now.
The David memoir uses that statistic about technology, right?
Yeah, 43% of churches only rethink their tech when there's an urgent need, a crisis. It's reactive, not proactive. And it contrasts this with leaders who might see themselves as progressive, hinting at a gap between perception and reality.
Which points to the issue of potentially outdated leadership training itself. Leadership evolves.
It's not a one-and-done skill. The David memoir says leaders must continually update their knowledge, new methods, new tech.
David is quoted on this too.
Yes. To remain effective and relevant, leaders must continually update their knowledge on new leadership methodologies and leverage the latest technological advancements in leadership.
And the stats back this up.
Starkly. Like 86% of organizations offer some leadership development, okay. But then 57% don't even assess what their leaders or organizations actually need first.
So the training might be generic, not tailored.
Could be. And maybe most telling, less than half of pastors, 47%, see leadership as a skill needing ongoing investment, not just something you're born with or learned years ago.
Which suggests maybe a systemic blind spot about the need for continuous adaptation.
Yeah, it really does. And leads right to the next point. Old ways often just don't work here now.
Strategies that were great somewhere else, or back then.
They might just fall flat today. Chaplain David says, strategies that were highly effective in the past or a different geographical context may simply no longer resonate with your current community. Our methods for reaching people must constantly evolve.
And the David memoir cites research showing this slow adaptation is a real issue.
Yeah, from places like Lifeway and the Lewis Center. They show many faith-based groups are slow to adopt newer models, like digital stuff or really local community work.
And the consequence of not adapting is, well, it's measurable, isn't it?
It is. The David memoir shows this dramatic drop. Pastors who feel their church is very effective at reaching non-churchgoers for conversion growth. It went from 13% in 2015 down to a projected 1% for 2025.
1%? Wow.
It's a huge drop. A powerful sign that current outreach methods are largely failing, which underlines that need for new strategies Mr. Everett talks about.
And a critical reason these efforts fail, even the well-intentioned ones.
Missing the community's voice. The David memoir warns about assuming you know what people need without actually listening.
Mr. Everett calls it an easy trap.
It's an easy trap for leaders to assume they understand the community's needs without truly engaging in active listening. And if you fall into that trap,
like waste effort. Resources.
Exactly. You might be offering a solution to a problem nobody actually has, or at least not one they prioritize. You're solving your perceived problem, not their felt need.
And finally, the David memoir brings in this idea about God working in unexpected ways.
Yeah, that divine guidance doesn't always come through the usual channels. It might be new ideas, unexpected insights, even people from outside the normal circle.
And the leader's role here is crucial, David Everett says.
God works through new pathways, new ideas, unforeseen insights, or even individuals from outside our usual circles. Leaders must cultivate the humility required to heed these messengers.
Humility, that's key.
And openness. He adds that the best ideas often come from meditation, reading, seeing, and prayer. So it requires leaders to be receptive, looking both inward spiritually and outward observantly.
It sounds like it takes courage, too. The David memoir stresses balancing internal work with that active outward focus.
Right. Chaplain David says, internal support and work within the community are invaluable, but they must be harmoniously balanced with an active, outward-focused pursuit and fulfillment of external needs. You need both, but the scale can't tip too far inward.
And those stats you mentioned earlier really show that struggle with looking outward.
Yeah, the 43% only updating tech when forced, and only 29% of employees feeling their leaders are ready for outside ideas. It paints a picture of organizational inertia, a reluctance to embrace the new even when it's needed.
It highlights that common challenge, doesn't it? Overcoming that pull towards the familiar, the comfortable, to step into maybe less comfortable but necessary community engagement.
Exactly. The courage to move beyond the known.
Okay, so that paints a clearer picture of why leaders and organizations might get stuck. Let's talk more about the other common reasons the David memoir lists for this inward focus and the consequences.
Right. Beyond the leadership issues, there's just the simple fact that it's easier, more comfortable to serve people you already know inside your group.
Less friction, maybe.
Less friction, less uncertainty than reaching out to strangers who might have complex situations.
Oh.
Familiarity breeds comfort.
Then there's the reliance on those internal metrics we talked about. Attendance, budget, programs.
Yeah, if that's how you measure success, your energy naturally flows inward to boost those numbers, not outward where the impact is harder to count in the same way.
A lack of clear outward vision is another big one mentioned.
If there's no intentional plan for engaging the community, the default is always going to be dealing with whatever's happening right inside the building. The urgent crowds out the important sometimes.
And the feeling of limited resources, not enough time, money, people.
That's a common one. But the David memoir kind of challenges that, suggesting maybe it's more about misplaced priorities. Are resources going to internal upkeep or outward mission?
And fear. You mentioned fear earlier.
Yeah, the David memoir calls it out directly. Fear of the unknown. Engaging with diverse needs, unfamiliar situations, it can feel risky, daunting.
Chaplain David addressed this head on.
He did. He said, the biggest hurdle I see is often fear of the unknown, fear of failure, even fear of not being accepted.
But he adds,
but remember, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's acting in faith despite it. The reward of reaching those who desperately need connection far outweighs any apprehension.
Acting in faith despite fear, that's powerful.
It is. The David memoir also talks about focusing only on maintaining the flock.
Which sounds important, but...
But if it's an exclusive focus, it turns the organization inward and neglects that broader call to reach out, to serve the wider world.
This can even become about self-preservation, right? Especially if things are tough.
Yeah, the David memoir suggests that facing decline can make organizations retreat inward subconsciously, trying to protect what they have, members, traditions, structures.
Instead of seeing challenges as a reason to innovate outward.
Exactly. And you see it in budgets, sometimes prioritizing building maintenance over mission, or programs mostly for insiders.
And misplaced priorities can show up in meetings, too.
Oh, yeah. The David memoir gives that almost funny but sad example of energy being consumed by internal debates, like arguing over whether the church kitchen needed new countertops.
While the outward mission gets ignored.
Precisely. Internal minutiae overshadowing the main purpose.
There's also fear of losing members mentioned.
Right. Fear that changing things to focus outward might upset longtime members who like the status quo. Or fear of failure if new outreach doesn't show instant results. These fears can paralyze action.
And finally, that marketing disconnect.
Yeah, where outreach isn't seen as genuine service, but just as a way to market the church or get more members, the community feels used, not served. Undermines everything.
So when an organization gets stuck like this, prioritizing the internal, what are the consequences laid out in the David memoir?
They're significant. First, diminished spiritual vitality. A self-focused church or organization loses spiritual vitality. It risks becoming lukewarm.
Referencing Revelation 3, verse 16.
Yes, that state of spiritual indifference or ineffectiveness. A serious warning. Increased internal conflict. The David memoir says inwardness breeds conflict as small issues become magnified. Without a big outward mission, petty things like the color of the sanctuary carpet can become huge battlegrounds.
Molehills become mountains.
Exactly. Then there's loss of relevance. If you're consumed with internal stuff, you lose touch with what's happening around us. You lose your influence, your ability to be salt and light because you're disconnected.
And ultimately,
decline. The David memoir is stark. Any organization not focused on reaching new people has already started to decline and will eventually die. It mentions research showing most growth is just internal shuffling or kids growing up, not reaching new people.
Not conversion growth.
Right. And this whole cycle makes it impossible to achieve that true success. Mr. Averett talked about at the start, the tangible impact on the single mom, the former inmate, the leftovers. An inward focus guarantees failure by that definition.
Which is exactly why the David memoir makes such an urgent case for the biblical call to go outside the walls.
Yes, it grounds this whole argument firmly in Scripture, using the King James Version.
Beyond the Great Commission in Matthew 28.
There's Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, being salt and light. Salt only works if it contacts the food. Light only works if it shines out into the darkness. Both require engagement.
Can't be salt in the shaker or light under a bowl.
Exactly. Then Matthew 9, verse 36, showing Jesus' compassion for all, especially those outside the establishment, the sheep without a shepherd. That compassion drives outward action.
And Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40, serving the least of these.
Incredibly powerful. Feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, caring for the sick, visiting the prisoner. Jesus says, when you do it for them, you're doing it for him. That applies to anyone in need, inside or outside.
And the second great commandment, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40.
Love your neighbor as thyself. And the Good Samaritan story shows your neighbor isn't defined by who's like you or near you, but by who's in need. It mandates outward love and service.
The David memoir also tackles that common focus on the building itself, doesn't it?
It does. It acknowledges a welcoming space is good, but the heavy emphasis on maintaining a first-class building can become a major distraction, a drain.
Mr. Averett argues too much energy goes into the machine of operations, including the building.
Yeah, diverting resources and attention from the real mission. the people, the community. He challenges the idea that God prioritizes physical structures using scripture.
Like Acts 7, verse 48.
Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
And Acts 17, verse 24 reinforces it.
God that made the world dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
And then 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 flips the script.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The focus shifts from the building to the people.
So the point is clear. People over property. Mission over maintenance.
Absolutely. The David memoir states it unequivocally. Compassion for the outsider over comfort for the insider should always take precedence.
Okay, this naturally leads into why a one-size-fits-all outreach approach doesn't work and how the Gospel Action Grid offers a different path.
Right. Communities are diverse. The David memoir points out just in the U.S., 50 states, countless unique local cultures, mindsets, what works great in one place
might totally bomb somewhere else.
Exactly. As Mr. Averett says, what works brilliantly in one community might be met with indifference in another. No magic bullet.
Time matters too, right? Old versus new organizations.
Yeah, established groups have history, trust built over time. Mm-hmm. Newer ones need different ways to connect.
And methods just change. What worked 10 years ago feels old now.
Communication changes. Needs change. Methods have to evolve. That's why the David memoir argues those short-term efforts aren't enough anymore.
Like 1 week of outreach or an occasional kids event.
Yeah, they lack depth. Mm-hmm. What's needed is consistent, authentic, and substantial engagement. It has to be ongoing.
Which brings us back to Chaplain David's powerful image.
The harbor versus the ship. For too long, the church has sometimes felt like a harbor, only for those already safely inside. But Jesus called us to be ships sailing out, seeking those tossed by the storms of life.
Sailing out to meet those in the storm, not just waiting for them to find the harbor.
Exactly. It's time to truly go beyond the walls right here in your community and everywhere. It's an active posture.
And this is where the Gospel Action Grid principle really comes into play.
Yes. The David memoir defines it simply. For every step of sharing the word, take a step of serving the local community.
One-to-one. Not either.
Not a choice, but a simultaneous action, a dynamic one-to-one swap for community care.
Uh-huh.
You pair the message with the action.
And the focus is clearly outward.
Explicitly. The target is new contacts who do not attend the church or organization. It says internal care is vital, but the grid is about actively reaching beyond our walls.
So the example they give makes this really concrete.
Yeah. If you go out twice a week doing traditional evangelism, like door knocking, then the Gospel Action Grid says you should also be actively serving the community, helping the poor, homeless, sick, families of inmates, etc., with equal consistency, also twice a week.
A balanced, holistic approach.
Exactly. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk, demonstrating the love you're proclaiming.
And this dual approach is grounded biblically, too.
Yes. James 1, verse 27, pure religion is visiting orphans and widows. That's service right at the core of faith.
And Matthew 25, verse 40 again, serving the least is serving Jesus, a direct call to meet tangible needs.
And the David memoir stresses this isn't about quick hits. Those short programs are ineffective. The grid requires consistent, authentic, and substantial engagement. It needs to be part of the regular rhythm.
Chaplain David saw the power of this firsthand.
He did. He says, I've witnessed the incredible power unleashed when a church or organization steps outside its comfort zone and meets a community where they are.
He mentions specific examples again.
It's in those moments of genuine connection with the overlooked parolee seeking a fresh start, the family struggling with an incarcerated loved one, that the true heart of the gospel shines brightest.
So the grid principle connects directly back to that true success definition, tangible impact on the overlooked.
Right. Service builds trust, demonstrates love, and creates openings for the spiritual side. The David memoir sums it up. Soul winning is so important, and so is helping out the community. We need to do both. It's a dual mandate.
Okay, so how do you practically ensure that spiritual connection happens alongside the service? What tools does the David memoir suggest?
It recommends being prepared. Having a dedicated table or team at any outreach event, ready not just to serve practical needs, but also to share spiritual hope.
Like having Bibles available.
Exactly. Bibles to give away. And clear, simple literature explaining the plan of salvation for those interested.
And those prayer cards, what's their role?
They're presented as a key tool, a tangible connection point. People can share prayer requests, email, text, call the organization.
So it provides a direct link for follow-up care.
Yes, and crucially, the card encourages the person to share it with others who need prayer, specifically mentioning the sick or hospitalized. So it extends the reach of that care even further.
The goal is that every act of service also carries the potential for spiritual connection, balancing word and deed.
Seamlessly. Making sure the spiritual hope is offered alongside the practical help.
The David memoir then gives examples of the action side of the grid, right? Like engaging the next generation.
Yeah, framing it as meeting specific current needs of youth, like their involvement in technology, gaming, social media, their academic goals with intentional action, always paired with the gospel message.
It uses those stats about gaming and social media to show where kids actually are today.
Right, emphasizing the need to meet them there digitally and through supporting their education, not just expecting them to come to traditional programs.
And it also lists a whole range of practical service areas.
Oh yeah, an extensive list. It really fleshes out the action side. Things covering basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, education tutoring, mentoring, health wellness programs, community building events, crisis response, economic empowerment like job training, even environmental stewardship.
So it provides loads of concrete ideas for how organizations can live out that serving the local community part of the grid.
Exactly. Demonstrating love through tangible action beyond the walls, showing what it means to go hand in hand with sharing the gospel. It really shows the breadth of possibilities.
So what's the payoff? What's the transformative harvest the David memoir describes when organizations embrace this outward gospel action approach?
Several positive outcomes. First, renewed spiritual life within the organization for the individuals involved.
How so?
Mr. Averett notes that serving others deepens faith. It requires putting faith into action, stepping out of comfort zones, relying on God. Chaplain David adds that prayer opens our eyes to the needs we might otherwise miss, connecting outward action to inner discipline.
Okay, what else?
Stronger unity. People working together on a meaningful outward mission builds bonds in a way internal activities might not. Shared purpose creates unity.
Makes sense. And real impact, obviously.
Yeah, organizations become agents of positive change, bringing real hope and help. They make a tangible difference.
And it opens hearts.
That's a key point. Demonstrating love through service opens doors for gospel conversations. Hmm. People are more receptive when they've experienced genuine care first.
And finally, joy and purpose.
A deep sense of satisfaction that comes from aligning with what the David memoir calls God's heart for compassion and love. Moving from just existing to having a vibrant outward purpose.
So let's try to summarize this foundational section from the David memoir, the intro and title. The core theme seems to be
a challenge to inwardness, a clear call, biblically grounded, to go beyond the walls, and the absolute necessity of balancing gospel sharing with tangible action, the gospel action grid.
And the message is hopeful, that this drift inward can be overcome.
Definitely. The David memoir stresses it's possible with intention and courage. Christ's call to go is presented as just as urgent today as it was 2,000 years ago.
There's huge potential for organizations to be beacons of hope.
Absolutely. Transforming lives. The David memoir offers those initial steps. Assess community needs, start small, pray, and get leadership committed to investing in the mission over the machine, people over programs and property.
And it wraps up this section with some really compelling quotes from David, Chaplain David, Mr. Averett.
Yeah, they really capture the essence. David says, go see the need, be the change. It starts with a step outside.
Simple, direct. David also says,
the walls of our churches shouldn't define the boundaries of our love and service. Powerful.
And Chaplain David encourages overcoming that fear.
Don't let fear keep your church or organizations from making a real difference in your community and beyond.
And Mr. Averett's final metric.
Impact is measured in lives changed, not just numbers inside. Brings it right back to the beginning.
So the bottom line, according to the David memoir, is that this outward focus, this gospel action balance, isn't just strategic, it's a profound spiritual imperative.
Leads to vitality, unity, and people being more open to the gospel.
Yeah.
It concludes this line of thought with that promise from Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
A powerful reminder of God's enabling power for this mission. And then The David memoir leaves you, the listener, with that provocative question.
Right. Building on everything we've discussed, what's one small step your church or organization can take this week to move beyond the walls and serve your community?
Just one small step. Makes it feel achievable, doesn't it?
It does. And it connects this to a real-world example, too, right? Mm. CA Jail Outreach.
Yes. Presenting them as an organization actually doing this. Reaching the overlooked families of inmates themselves. Offering practical help like prayer, mail, email, video conference support.
A tangible example of the gospel action grid in practice. Making a difference for those often forgotten. And their website is mentioned.
Yeah, www.kaijailoutreach.org for anyone wanting to see more about how they embody these principles.
That call to action, just one small step, that's where it becomes real, isn't it? Moving from ideas to action.
Exactly. It requires that courageous compassion the David memoir talks about. Stepping out of the comfort zone to meet needs.
It really challenges anyone involved in these kinds of organizations to look honestly at their focus. Is it aligned with that tangible, outward impact God desires?
A crucial question to wrestle with.
Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time until the trumpet blows.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Everett, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.